This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. College students are in the middle of exams. Students from kindergartners to PhD candidates are getting ready to take a break for the holidays. So it seems like a good time to step back and take stock of the state's more controversial education policies, see where they stand and what changes may be on the horizon. In Wake County, the school board has again revised the student assignment policy. A lot of disagreement in Chapel Hill over their version of redistricting. And UNC Chapel Hill is bracing for an independent report on the embattled Department of African and Afro-American Studies. WUNC's Dave DeWitt is here to bring us up to date on these and other issues in education. Dave, welcome.
Hi, Frank.
Let's start with the at the state level. Governor Perdue's tenure almost over. Governor-elect Pat McCrory set to take office. Does McCrory have any specific changes in mind for education?
Well, that's the big question, and nobody knows exactly what the governor-elect has in mind for much of anything, actually. He kept it pretty close to the vest. He had a pretty big lead through the campaign most of the way through, so he didn't have to reveal too specifically what his policy changes or updates might be. In education, you know, it's interesting because Governor-elect McCrory has an education degree from Catawba College, had intended to be a teacher, instead went into private business, worked for Duke Energy for many years. So he has a background in education that not many governors have had. But as the former mayor of the city of Charlotte, never really had a chance to weigh in a lot on policy as it pertains to education. So it's highly likely that he's going to be he's got this culture of what he calls customer service that he wants state government to have. So that translates in the education realm to probably even sort of more positive towards things like charter schools, tax credits for private schools. Things like that. And that's something that the legislature, also Republican, has been pushing for quite a while. It's unlikely he'll take the lead on anything too controversial, but he'll be supportive of whatever comes out of the legislature.
You mentioned charter schools, and I know the fight over online charter schools is one that's likely to continue in this era. Remind us what the disagreement is about and what's likely to happen.
Well, last year, K-12, a company, approached one of the school boards, county school boards, Cabarrus, down there by Charlotte, and through a nonprofit, tried to get an online charter school started in the state. And even though it would have been in Cabarrus County, it would have been open to all students in North Carolina. They had predicted as many as 1,800 students with the per pupil funding. That would have cost the state about $18.5 million or so. But eventually, a North Carolina judge blocked it and said that this hasn't been studied enough. We don't know enough about the implications here, and that the state board was sort of beginning to implement some changes. So the state board has gone about trying to get up some rules together for online charters specifically. One of those rules would have been that it would have been lower per pupil funding than for a student going to a bricks and mortar school. That isn't going to fly too much with the K-12 people. And the legislature ended up sending a letter to the state board saying, you're sort of treading in areas here that we're going to take care of with legislation. You need to back off a little bit. It's also true that K-12 has hired a lot of lobbyists in Raleigh. And so this is going to be an ongoing fight over what happens with for-profit online education.
Would that affect the cap on charter schools? Are they considered a charter school if they're online?
Right. I think you can assume that cap is going to be pretty much removed completely. You're going to see charter schools pop up everywhere if they haven't already. We've seen through the pipeline, we've seen a lot more charter schools going through and a lot of them being okayed. How the regulations and how charters are both viewed and then supervised, that's going to be sort of an ongoing fight, and especially the supervision part, because right now this Office of Charter Schools in the state in Department of Public Instruction, you know, they don't have enough people to supervise the charter schools they have, let alone all the ones that are in the pipeline.
Let's talk about the state's largest school district, Wake County, once again changed the student assignment policy. What's the change? How many families affected?
We've kind of gone back to the future a little bit now with the new student assignment policy just put into place. It essentially ends the choice plan after, well, less than a year. It was put into place for the beginning of this past school year. It was supposed to last for 3 years. It'll last for one. And the reasoning was, well, other than political, other than Democrats recapturing the school board, is that The reason the Democrats have given now is that it's too expensive. Too many bus lines. If you remember back at the beginning of the traditional school year, Wake County had all kinds of problems with buses and bus lines, not enough kids waiting at buses for, you know, bus stops for long times. So that was perceived as a pretty serious problem. going back, though, to the old diversity plan, the old student assignment plan, they're making it very easy, or as easy as they can, to grandfather in families and students who like where they are now. No one will be asked to change except for, excuse me, a few students sort of in the northeastern part of the state where they have to populate, or the county, where they have to populate three new schools. So this reassignment plan is only going to affect about 1,500 students. It's not going to be huge, but it does mark a big change now, sort of going back to considering socioeconomic diversity and student assignment plan going forward.
It's interesting to think about this. This fight began over changing the socioeconomic-backed reassignment plan, one that had been in place for 10 years. And so the argument was, look, this has been going for a long time, 10 years, very successful, leave it alone. The complaint now is, you've changed this three times in 3 years. How come you guys changed so much?
Right. And if you remember back when they initially changed it from the socioeconomic diversity policy to something else, there were a lot of other changes going on too, and there was a lot more growth in the county. But you know, they had things like Wacky Wednesdays, where it was early release Wednesdays, a lot of things that put families under more stress. Well, now there's a little more stability, and I think the school board members, some of whom are still there throughout this whole process, realize that stability is a really important factor for families. And so even going back to the student assignment policy, the stability is still going to be there. There's not going to be as many reassignments.
Sizable school bond on the ballot next year for Wake County. What's going to happen? What's the money going to be used for?
Well, the school Wake County needs a school bond. They haven't had one in many years, and this is a situation as it is in every county district where the county commissioners have to get together with the school board in the county, come together, decide on the bond, how much, what it's used for, and put it on the ballot. Well, you've got a democratically dominated school board now, and you've got a Republican majority on the county commissioners. These folks can't get together at good times. The fact that the Democrats on the school board just fired Superintendent Tony Tata, who was popular in the Republican ranks, especially among the county commissioners, is not going to make getting this on the ballot any easier. Wake County, because of growth and everything, they need to build new schools. And because they have to look so far out, they need to build these new schools now to have them in place 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years from now. So there's a lot of planning that's gone on. A lot of other interests have held off pushing for their own ballot initiatives because they've been waiting for this big, giant school bond to get on the ballot and get pushed through. Whether it gets okayed or not, they've been sort of on hold. So this is a big thing that people have been looking for 4 or 5 years now.
And Wake County, not the only county school district to deal with reassignment. Now Chapel Hill Carrboro is also struggling over this.
Right. Any school district that has had any kind of growth in North Carolina has had to do a lot of student reassignment. And that's certainly the case also in Chapel Hill Carrboro schools. And it's interesting to watch a school district that is very different from Wake County, a lot smaller, different types of students, different types of families, everything else. But a lot of the same words are getting used, community schools and diversity and making sure the diversity is evenly spread throughout the schools so we don't have low-performing schools in one area and high-performing in the other. It's popping up, you know, in Chapel Hill Carrboro. They have to repopulate a new elementary school that's opening to alleviate some of the overcrowding. A lot of folks don't like that there's some new magnet programs moving in and pushing some of the students out of their community schools. And we see parents getting upset about all of the same issues that we've seen covered so much in Wake County and prior to that in Durham.
Whenever there are stories about education in North Carolina, there's a paragraph in there somewhere about the performance, and it's not always good by comparison to the rest of the country. There is good news now, right? The results of an international comparison of math and science tests released this week, North Carolina did well.
They did. It's called the Trends in International Mathematics and Science Study. It compares student achievement not only among states but among countries. North Carolina was the only participating U.S. state, one of only 8 education systems worldwide, in which fourth grade math students outscored the test average and the U.S. national average. NC students did also well at the eighth grade level, not quite as well. And state leaders say that this is because of a past commitment to early childhood education. Now, we've seen in the state legislature some diminishing of that commitment to early childhood education, but a lot of leaders, especially in the Department of Public Instruction, say this has given our students a real leg up as they start out, and it looks that way in fourth grade and begins to diminish a little bit as you get a little bit more up through the grades. But that stability and that commitment to, you know, really now a couple of years, decades even, of that early childhood education, many people believe it's starting to pay off.
Which is the problem with education. Anything you do takes a long time to see the payoff. Now we're starting to see the payoff of decades of commitment, and we're deciding again whether to recommit or to pull back.
Right, and you see that happen, you know, with the federal government getting involved at the race to the top level and everybody else. They're starting these initiatives. The No Child Left Behind is essentially now defunct. But it does. It takes a long time. So before you even get results on some of these initiatives, we're on to the next one.
UNC Chapel Hill this week. We'll hear a report from former Governor Jim Martin on what happened in the African and Afro-American Studies Department at Carolina. Remind us about that and what we expect to see.
Well, if you'll remember, a lot of student athletes were sort of seen to have taken courses, independent study and no-show classes in the African and Afro-American Studies Department at UNC Chapel Hill. This university itself looked at the situation, decided, you know, there were some improprieties here. They made a lot of changes both in personnel and in the way these things are supervised and overseen. And then they asked Jim Martin to come in and take an independent look from the outside. That report comes in on Thursday. What's interesting, not only UNC Chapel Hill waiting to see this, but the UNC Board of Governors formed their own little task force to look at UNC Chapel Hill's reaction to all of these. So a lot of people waiting that report on Thursday. And it'll be interesting to see what it says. We've seen a lot of different reports about whether it's problematic or not, or how big and how widespread and how long it's been going on.
We will check back, Dave. Thanks so much. Always a pleasure.
My pleasure.
Dave DeWitt, education reporter and producer here at WUNC Radio. Coming up, the creator of Found Magazine tells us why his heart is an idiot. You'll hear it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.